So we are in Perek Yud-Alef. So Yud-Alef gets into the discussion with regards to Man, and we touched on something that seemed like it had a halachic implications, and Bruce said, yeah, let's do that. So we'll do that. The mission, the pasuk tells us that that the Man fell on top of a layer of dew. It actually doesn't talk about the layer of dew covering. I think it mentions that only in Bishalach, but here it mentions only underneath. So that actually...
We never finished the second half of the...
I know. All right.
We'll go straight to halacha?
Yeah.
Skipping over the same
I don't know. We'll decide. We might connect it to Perek Yud Beis. We'll see.
We haven't done the second half in either 2 days, right?
That's right. All right. So, anyways, so with regards to the halacha of there is an idea of us that we cover the challah having to do with the story of Man. Now, where exactly is the source for covering challah? So, it's sort of in the Gemara. Although the truth is, well, after I looked at it today, I realized that it's not completely in the Gemara. The Gemara talks about a concept of poris mapu umekadesh. What does that mean? Poris mapu umekadesh, that you cover up the loaves and you make kiddush. So, but however, the context of that Gemara in Arvei Pesachim, on Daf Kuf, Amud Beis, I believe, somebody's right there in the beginning of Arvei Pesachim. That context is about somebody who's eating on Erev Shabbos, and then it becomes Shabbos, and now he wants to make Kiddush on that time, so you cover up the table that's in front of you, and then you go ahead and make Kiddush. But it doesn't actually say that if you're not involved in that situation, there's an idea of covering up the challah. So the Rishonim there comment about this. The Rishonim there say, okay, well, where is our minhag of covering up the challah? Now, the truth is, I looked quickly in the Rambam. I didn't do a full check. I'm not sure the Rambam has a salach. I'm not sure the Rambam covered up challahs at his meal. Could be that he didn't. If he made kiddush after Moses. But there are three ideas that are presented as the reason for covering up challahs. So what are the three reasons that are given? Number one.
You don't want it to be embarrassed.
Right. So the most famous reason, although it's the reason that is not mentioned on that daf and not mentioned by Tosos, is this idea that normally we would make a bracha on challah before we make a bracha on wine because it comes earlier in the pasuk. Right? There's a shiva minim. When you have two of the shiva minim in front of you, which one do you make a bracha on? So whichever one comes earlier in the pasuk or closer to the word eretz. Whichever one comes closer to the word eretz, earlier in the pasuk. Okay. It's a little complicated how one figures that out. So that would go first. So normally we would make a bracha on bread before we make a bracha on wine. However, on Shabbos we're making kiddush on wine, so therefore we make a bracha on kiddush on wine before the bread, so it's not nice to the bread that it's in front of you and you're not making kiddush on it, so therefore... And you're not making the bracha on it, so therefore we cover it up. So there's, of course, the famous, that of course bears the mentioning of the famous story of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, when he was invited to someone's house or something, and they get home and the breads aren't covered, and the man starts yelling at them, why did you cover the challahs yet? You know, don't you know that the challahs have to be covered? I can't believe this, I'm so embarrassed in front of Rav Salanter, who was here. Rav Salanter said, you know, we cover up the challah so the challahs aren't embarrassed. If we're not worried about the challah, kalachom, we should be worried about your wife, right? So anyways, that is idea number one. But that is actually the idea that is not mentioned on the daf. On the daf, and Tosfos, he mentions two other ideas. Number one is, we cover the challah so that when we uncover it, it looks special. Sort of like, ta-da! And here's our challah, right? Makes it a bigger deal when we uncover it. And then the last reason that he mentions, and he quotes, quoting from a Yerushalmi, which one I forget is quoted from the Yerushalmi. The third reason that is given is this: that it's a zecher leman, that we put a prusa underneath and we put a prusa on top, so that when we look at it, we recall the miracle of the man. So those are the three reasons that are given. So the Mishnah Berurah.
What was the man again? You started with the man on top of such a layer.
The man was on top of a layer of dew and below a layer of dew.
Oh, I thought it felt like the dew. They actually talk about a layer of dew?
Yes. So it's not as clear here, but I believe in Bishalach it is a little clearer about that it was on top of and below. Come on, I'm having trouble locating it. Sorry, one second. I'm looking for a specific source here. Okay, so in Siman, the what?
It says the layer of dew ascended home upon the surface of the wilderness of something thin, exposed.
This is in Bishalch or in Baluscha? Bishalch. Bishalch, right. So Bishalch talks about below and as well as on top. I'm just missing the... there it is. Okay, I'm sorry. So in Rishai and Aleph, Sif Tes, it says Sarach Shetehe Mapa Al Shulchan Tachas Hapas Mapa Acheres Beprus Al Gabav, that there should be a thing underneath, and then there should be a covering as well on top. So Mishaburi here comments that the Torah quotes the Yerushalmi that you shouldn't see the pas, so the pas shouldn't be embarrassed, right? So that's what he quotes the name of Yerushalmi, that idea. However, in the footnotes to the Torah, points out that he doesn't know where this Yerushalmi is. That's quoted in the Torah. I think the Russian also quotes the name of the Yerushalmi, but we don't necessarily know where that. We don't know where that appears actually in the Yerushalmi itself.
We don't have all the Yerushalmi.
It could be that we don't. Yeah, I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying that it's right. A problem. You can't open up a Masechet Shabbos Yerushalmi and find this idea. Yeah. So and the quotes, and then the other reasons are right. Remembering the Mun. And also to have this covering. So then he mentions that there's a couple of nafkaminas then that come out from this. So lefiza imakadish alapas ain't sarach lichsos alapmapa. That if you're making kiddush on bread, so you would not need to cover the bread. Meaning the whole idea has to do with the embarrassment issue. So let's say a person makes kiddush on bread. You don't have wine, so you make kiddush on bread. This was not for us. It sounds like very unusual, but back in the day, I don't think it was very unusual. If wine was expensive, bread was not as expensive, and make kiddush on bread. In fact, if you look at old siddurim, so not such old siddurim. The siddur that I got for my siddur play in first grade in Dov Revel included I forget the name of the siddur, but it had on the kiddush, you had an option of making kiddush on wine or making kiddush on bread. That both of them are in the text itself. So anyways, so if you are making kiddush on bread, so the first reason wouldn't apply, right? The idea that you would make kiddush in order, you cover the bread so the bread's not embarrassed, so that wouldn't apply. But the idea of Zecher Laman, the idea that it recalls Laman, so that would still apply. And I believe that that's probably where we actually fall down on this issue, that we really probably do Paskin like that reason. He even adds in here, he quotes here from the Chayyadim, that Mashmud Latam Zecher Laman, based on the reasoning of remembering Laman, Toshia Mechusa Ad Achar Berchas Hamotzi, that one should really have their bread covered until after the Bracha of Hamotzi is made. Right? So when you make the bracha of hamotzi, the bread is still going to be covered. We're making reference to the Lechem Mishnah. The Lechem Mishnah itself, but we'll get into this a little shortly. The Lechem Mishnah itself, of course, is Zecher Laman. So we cover it as well as a full Zecher Laman. You're not necessarily going to see everybody do this, but that's at least the way the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, to cover the bread during the time of the bracha as well. Yeah?
I've seen people reach under the cover and make the mozi that way.
Right. That's what he's describing, right.
That's not the... Is that standard?
Standard. It's what the Mishnah Berurah says to do.
No.
What about the thing about holding
up
challah, giving it to like two little...
So we'll get to the cut in a second. Yes.
You can do that after the mozi, right?
Okay, we're going to get to the cut in a second. Before we get to the cut, where do we get the idea of having two loaves in the first place? What?
You can make... If people reach under the...
So hold off on the cut. I'll get to the cutting in a second. Where do we get two loaves in a second? So that's the Gemara and Shabbos that appears in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin.
That's moon, right?
Amud Beis. Vas?
That's because of the moon. You get a double portion.
Right? Yes, so that's where the Gemara there comments, right? Now, why do we have two loaves on Shabbos as a Zecher Laman, to remember the month? So then the Gemara then makes a comment. However, you only have to cut one of them. Sorry, I shouldn't say that. The Gemara says, cut the bigger, cut the big, or something like that. It's a little... I should have brought the Gemara with me. It's a little unclear what the Gemara is referring to when it says over there. So how do we? So what is the problem? So Rashi is really who on the daf says, what does he mean? Mean cut one. Mean you're going to have two challahs there. You show two challahs. That's enough to say everybody remember the mun. But you don't have to cut two. You only have to cut one. That would be sufficient. And then the Gemara goes and tells a story about one of the Amorayim, that one of the Amorayim used to cut a very big piece of a big piece for himself. That's what it comments. He had a big piece. Why did he have a big piece? So Zecher L'Kavut Shabbos, that he would have a piece of bread to cover his entire meal. So the Amorayim commented, but isn't there a halacha elsewhere in Shulchan Aruch that says that you cut really big pieces that looks like you're a glutton. To which they respond by saying, he's defended by later Amorite to say, no, it's okay, because the rest of the week he's makbid on that, he doesn't eat too much. The fact that he's doing it on Shabbos shows that it's a chavud Shabbos, shows that it's for the honor of Shabbos and not because he is gluttonous. So how do you understand that story, which immediately follows this? So Rashi says, it's a story, right? There are different halachos that don't have to do with one another. One is talking about cutting the challah, and you cut one and not two. And the next line is, and you could cut yourself a really big piece on Shabbos because you're not going to look gluttonous, etc. That's the way Rashi understands it. The Rashba, however, understands it as saying, no, that's not, it actually means that one is supposed to cut both challahs. That there is a idea of cutting both. Why would there be an idea, and that's what that story is about. That's what that story was describing, that he would cut both of those challahs, that it's not sufficient to cut one should really cut both of them to demonstrate that they're both for this meal. They're not just having one putting the other one to the side, but rather they're both for this meal. So the Mishnah Berurah here comments in Siman Reish Ayin Dal. Well, let's just say the Shulchan Aruch first says he botzea al shtei kikaros she'ochei shtein biyado uvotzea hatachtona, and you would cut the lower one. The lower one is cut Friday night and on Shabbos day, as well as all yontif meals. You would cut the top one rather than the bottom one. Why? Because the Ramak comments here, v'tamhu al derech ha-kabbalah. The reason this has to do with Kabbalah, but that means, it has to do with that the night of Shabbos is compared to more feminine, and the day of Shabbos is more masculine. So to demonstrate the femininity of the night of challah, so you take the lower challah. But I don't know if I want to share that in public. But anyways. So the Mishnah Berurah comments, Sherei lo nemar lechem mishta ela bilakita, that we only have to talk about lechem mishta with regards to picking them up. So, however, Virash the Marshal and the Shla nagu lachtoch shneim. Their minhag was to cut both of them. Kperish haRashba, as the Rashba understands that Gemara, the chain hiskim hagra, and that's what the Vilna Gaon agrees to also. V'im hikpid al ha'utsa, and if you, it's going to cost you a lot of money. I mean, your wife's going to say, I don't want to bake so many challahs, and you're not going to finish all that. And what are we going to do with those leftover challah? He says, oh, say gimel challahs gedolos, so gimel katanos. Make three big challahs and make three little challahs, and v'cholse the b'seya achas gedolos. Then for each meal, you'll cut one big one and one little one. However, noagin kashulchan aruch. However, most people are knowing, like the shulchan aruch, to only cut one rather than two. Okay, so that idea is the idea is out there. Yes.
Can you save the next one, the other one, for next week?
You can do it the next day, right? You put it back in the freezer. He even in the Kovitz Lachos here, I think he talks about you even have to take it out of the plastic. You even leave it in the. I think Rishul said, yeah, you could even leave it in the plastic. It just has to be out there on the table. For all to see. So,
You can do it for Shabbos day.
And you can save it for the next day, yeah. Save it for Shabbos, Shudas, etc. So, the Aruch HaShulchan.
You need a whole challah for the next day?
Yeah.
You need two new challahs?
Two
for Shabbos day?
Two full.
No, you need two challahs, yes.
Two full challahs.
Right.
For Shabbos day.
Right. The Lecha Mishnah would apply at night and day. Shabbos Shudas is a little bit of a question. Hopefully we'll have time to get to that. So he quotes here from the Aruch HaShulchan. He says, Va'ata yish harbi mendaktig in medinas lita v'Russia v'zimut shenoagim zem mikamadoros al piagra liftzor shtayim b'chol suda. That the Aruch HaShulchan records that many are makbid to cut the two challahs for each meal. This is v'ini mevins. I don't understand this. They appears to the Rabbi Zera kagon v'harashba v'kol makum harav asher of Kahana Lusirle came. Right? If you look in the Gemara is having a later machlokas amorayim about what Rabbi Zera was the one who cut both challahs, and Rav Ashi and Rav Kahana are not doing it. Meaning, if you follow the Gemara, that's why I should have brought the Gemara. If you follow the Gemara, one is saying, hey, why would you do that? And the other one responds by suggesting this. But what do you see? That most people were not nohake like the earlier Amora that was cutting to. Vehima betarti neged Rabbi Zera. Right? Vehim nemar degam Ravashi v'Rav Kahana in cholken al Rabbi Zera. El is really degam echad yotze v'Rabbi Zera. Okay, so he continues on. Right, that's, and the Aruch HaShulchan concludes by saying, "Oh, the mitzvah min hamufchar, Rabbi Zeir, if that really is the mitzvah min hamufchar, like Rabbi Zeir, to cut both, lama lo asa Rav Kahana mitzvah min hamufchar? Why would Rav Kahana not do the best thing?" And he quotes some other, "V'lachin l'di tzarchin gadol b'zeh." So therefore, I am challenged by this, tzarchin gadol, but there are those that are knowing to cut, to specifically cut both at each meal. Personally, we're not, except for when, if we're having guests and we know that we're going to be cutting both challahs anyways, so then I'll do like the I'll cut both at the same time in order to be yotze the shita of the gra. What's the idea of making a pre-cut? So that pre-cut is actually not a hilchos Shabbos halacha at all. That is a hilchos brachos issue. You had that already. That's what you're up to now. You're in that area now.
You're past brachos.
You're past brachos, right? So in Siman Kuf Samach Zayin, there's comments there. But Sam Pas Makom Shenefa, he said you should cut the challah in the best place where it's best baked. You should cut a little bit. That such that if you pick it up, the rest of the bread will go with. You mean it should be that big a cut? Shim Lokain Chashuv Kaprusa. But if not, it will be considered like its own piece. But you should leave it connected. Make the bracha, and then after the bracha, you'll be able to separate it more easily. What are you accomplishing by doing this? So it seems like what you're accomplishing is that there'll be less of a hefsek. I mean, you make the bracha of hamotzi, and then in order not to have a separation, you already began the cut. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch is recommending. So the Ramah comes and says, "Uveshabbos lo yachlof b'kikar achar bracha." On Shabbos, you shouldn't do it. Kedei sheyu akikar shleimus. In order to remain, in order to have the kikar stay the same. Umikol makum yimshachach v'chatach kamo b'chol eno mazik. However, if you do cut a little bit like you did during the week, so you didn't do such a bad thing. So the Mishabura actually,
if I recall, it had something to do with you cut through the crust only. There was something about that. The pre-cut is gets you through the crust, and then you can continue through the
crust. Okay.
There's something about that.
On Shabbos or not on Shabbos?
This was,
I mean, that could be part of the challenge. I mean, I remember teaching these halachos in Phoenix, and one of the teachers from the day school were there, and he commented that our bread might not look exactly like their bread. I mean, it could be that, you know, our ovens are much better, even an oven like mine from the 70s is probably much, much better than their ovens, and when they baked bread, it probably was not unusual that the outside would be burnt and the inside would be raw.
They also baked the bread.
They also had a different method, right, that they stuck it to the wall, and it sounds like the whole oven was filled with bread or something. Yeah. Right. Yes, I I'm not sure those halachos about the crust are necessarily as applicable today as the Shulchan Aruch / Mishabru would have you believe. Right. So anyways, even the Mishabruer himself doesn't seem to quote this idea of putting in a little bit, but that is the minhag in Kovitz Halachos. He quotes those that suggested to put in a little bit of scratch to demonstrate the beginning is still appropriate. But remember, the real halachos is during the week. It actually makes sense during the week that to actually cut more than one would over the course of Shabbos. Rav Shmuel makes a comment here. He quotes Rav Shmuel in the Kovitz Halachos as saying that even if you make that scratch on Shabbos, he says, if you can't find it, right, why should you do that? Because it makes it a little easier, and you've already begun the cut, maybe you're cutting through the outside crust, etc. But he says, if you made that scratch, and then you take the knife away, and you cover it up, like the Mishnah Berurah says, and, okay, make the bracha, motzi lacha min haaretz, and now you go back, where's that scratch that I made? So the Shmuel said, that's not appropriate. You don't have to find the scratch. It's better, if it's going to take you a moment to find the scratch, so better just to begin cutting right away in order not to have any hefsek. Continue on a few more halachos. There is an idea out there of having 12 chalos. 12 chalos zecher to the lechem apanim. The lechem tries with lechem apanim, I think, is more likely, but the avoda of the lechem apanim, the removal and the placing of the lechem apanim, so that took place on Shabbos. So there are, if you go to some Hasidic tradition in Tishas in Meish, you'll see that when they put the challah in front of the Rebbe, there will be 12 challahs there. I have a chaver from yeshiva, actually.
One for each child.
So how
So my shatan, Rabbi David Einhorn. So he had a relationship with the Biana Rebbe. Whole story there. So he actually went to the Biana Rebbe's house for Shabbos, and even at his home with eight people or whatever there was at the table. So he had two big challahs and surrounded by 10 challah rolls. So when I was in Rav Schechter's year, he pointed out that according to the Gra, that the Gra pointed out that if you hold like me, that you have to cut both challahs, you are yotzei the zecher lelechem ha'panim anyways. But if you cut two challahs at three meals, so how many pieces of bread do you have?
12,
right? So that's the real zecher to the lechem ha'panim. So I was like, so today as I was preparing this, I was like, I wonder where that gra is inside. So I searched around a little bit on the internet to see if this quoted. So there is something called halachapedia, like a Wikipedia about halachas. So it quotes this then that according to the gra, you should split, if you cut each one, so you're so then you'll come out to 12. If you cut two challahs at every meal, you'll come out with 12 challahs. And in the footnote, I looked in the footnote, heard from Shir from Rav Schechter, CYU Torah. I'm like, okay. So at least Rav Schechter quotes in the name of the Gra that idea. What about at Shal Shudis? A few more notes here. So what about at Shal Shudis? So the Shmir Shabbos, well, actually, you don't have to go to Shmir Shabbos because in the Shulchan Aruch itself, in Simon Reish Sadi Aleph Sif Dalid, so it talks about that at that, I believe that's Hilchos Shal Shudis. Where is it? Let me just pull that up here. Right, you don't have to make kiddush at Shal Shudis. However, Val Tzarach Liftzo Al Shtei Kikaros, you should have two kikaros. Comes the Ramah. If you already ate harbi pamim b'shabbos tzarich l'chosu, you should have two. Velo pachos lo yeh lo besuda shishis pachos mikikarech. You should have less than one full one. Umizeh pasha minig lahak levtzoa b'shula shishis rak pikarech. And that's the minig. The minig at Shal Shudis is to only have one. Why would that be the minig? So the Mishnah Berurah points out, because on Yom HaShishi, on Friday, double portion came down. Right? So two omeres came down per person. Each omer is two breads. So he says, L'chol echad shnei amarim. When we call Omer asu beis kikaros, you make two rolls. Hare dalit. So that gives you four rolls. L'beis amarim achol echad be'erev Shabbos ve'echad b'leil Shabbos. So you would eat one on erev Shabbos, one on the night of Shabbos, and one on the one in the morning, meaning the second meal. So all you have left is one. Right, you're only going to have left one loaf, so therefore you could still have the remembrance of the month by having one loaf at Shal Shudis. So ideally it should be two. So when you have Shal Shudis at Shul, so if you can get two, it's great. If not, one would be sufficient. I would point out that this is, of course, assuming that the Jews did not cut both loaves at each meal, right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be left with any whole ones according to that cheshbon. But okay. One more thought here is that the Mishnah Berurah makes a comment that women are obligated in Lecha Mishnah and all of these, all the halachos of Shabbos, based on the idea of Zachar v'Shamar, they're obligated, just as they're obligated on the prohibitions of Shabbos, they're also obligated in the positive aspects of Shabbos, but also they're chayv in shteikik zecher leman. Dechsiv lachtu lachem mishnah v'gam biyom tov yishayavus v'gam hanashim, says the Mishnah Berurah in Reishayin Dalat Zefal mechuyavus b'lachem mishnah. Why? Shayu gam kein b'neis haman. They're also saved by the man, so therefore they should be chayiv in the lechem mishnah as well, just like the men. Now one could make an argument. There's one seeing that those that try to be lamid zchus on why women aren't so strict about shal shudis, and they point out the distinction that when we say afim hayu beoso anes when it comes to Hanukkah or when it comes to the dalet kosos, so those are like obvious remembrances to the miracles that took place. When you look at your challahs at your table, so you don't necessarily say man. Except maybe you should, right? So there's a difference between, between Zecher L'Neis and Pursumi Nisa. While we might perhaps do many things that are meals of Zecher L'Neis, they're not necessarily mitzvahs of Pursumi Nisa. It could be that women are only obligated in Pursumi Nisa halachos, like Hanukkah and Pesach and Megillah, and maybe not obligated in things that are only Zecher L'Neis. But nevertheless, we certainly do recommend that women should be makbid on A3 meals, and B, the Lecha Mishnah, as men are, because they also should remember that miracle.
What is the mitzvah of Lecha Mishnah?
The idea of having Lecha Mishnah is Zecher L'Neis, so they should also have a portion in that. Now, I was going to add that in also. What does it mean to have a portion in it? Do you have to have a full piece from the Lechem Mishnah? So Shmuel points out that no, that you don't need, in the Tobis Halacha, so Shmuel says that you don't need to have a full kezias from the Lechem Mishnah. You should have a piece, but you don't have to have a full kezias as long as a kezias of the Lechem Mishnah is being eaten at the table, so you fulfill the Lechem Mishnah amount of the table, but you should have a piece from that, he says. I'm not even sure why you need that. Right? It could be that if somebody at the head makes the Lechem Mishnah, so it could be that everybody else could just have their own bread and be yotze in that way. That's what it seems to me, but I'm not sure.
Bracha in general, you need a kezias, right?
Correct, but you could have a piece, let's say there's not so much Lechem Mishnah, so you can have a small piece and then have the rest of your bread from a different roll. All right, you know, if anybody wants some, there's a lot more of the Lechem Mishnah outside, brought to you from Elkins Park. Help yourself, right? Okay.
Yep.